Chrissy.
Hey, Jacob.
I got a question for you.
What's up?
What do a timeless tale of two lovers who find passion and tragedy at a fantastic nightclub and a spoof of the super spy thrillers of the swinging 60s have in common?
I don't know.
Well, you know what? Let's find out, shall we? Because this week, I watched Moulin Rouge.
And this week, I watched Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
And now it's time to make the movie connection. All right, and here we go. We have started. It is new season, new us. What is up, everybody? Hi there. My name is Jacob. And I'm here with my sister,
Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection. Which, we had this podcast where we used to say, I think we set the title at the same time.
The same time. Yeah. And so now sometimes I still do it. It happens.
It's fun.
So if you hear a whisper of me.
it's a little Easter egg.
That's why.
And, hi, Chris. so, yeah, welcome to season... Three?
Season
three? Wow. Season three of The Movie Connection, which is a podcast where, you know, in an effort to broaden our individual movie horizons and just to stay connected in general, we decided to connect over something that we both really enjoy.
Movies.
and so we assign each other to watch movies that we usually haven't seen before.
Right.
And then we watch them, and then we sit down to review them and discuss them, and then we try to figure out, hey, is there any connective tissue between these two things?
Right.
Any connection?
Anything at all.
Anything.
Any little thing.
And sometimes the results are...
Shocking?
Hilarious. amazing. I mean, so many words to describe.
Yeah.
But we're going strong. We have yet to, we are determined to keep this show going. Right. We haven't broken it yet.
Not yet.
For me, I thought Arrival and,
What was that?
Man in the Iron Mask was going to be the one.
I mean.
That one was scary. I was like, what are we going to.
And we found more connections than I thought we would.
It's really fun when you kind of have to.
Dig.
Yeah. And
this
like
one
work
I had
for
to
it.
Dig.
Yeah. Yeah. Work for it a little bit.
Because this was a fucking weird combo too. Okay.
Yeah. You got, I mean, in one corner, you got me watching Moulin Rouge. Sorry. You got to yell it. It's got the exclamation point.
Yep. I know. As a person that uses way too many exclamation points, I try to remember that that's how people are reading them.
Right.
Nope. Still do it.
And then Casey, you watching, and it's weird. This usually we do like, when we do sequels, we match it up with another sequel. Not the
case
this time.
Which I almost did.
Yeah.
I almost gave you Neighbors too.
Ah, I see.
But I thought Moulin Rouge would just set a fun tone.
Yeah,
to
it's a great
start the season three.
Exactly, great opener. Like both of these, really, because
both of them, yeah.
Because in its own way, Spy Who Shagged Me. I mean, it was super popular.
Oh my God!
I think
yes.
It blew the first one out of the water or something.
Yeah, it was really. It was better than the first one for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I think.
Oh, you do think so? Oh,
I
cool.
I think. Yeah. You know, I haven't watched either of these in a long time.
Right? Did you watch the first one and then go into the second one, or did you just dive
right into the second one because my timing was off this
yeah.
week?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot going on.
Yeah, and we just did the Chippendale thing too.
Oh,
so
man.
It's like we had a bunch of movies.
If you haven't listened to that yet, give that a listen.
Please, like, and let us know your opinions.
Man.
Do you agree? Do you disagree?
Like
some
right.
people really love it. It's got a really high like
they just keep...
score.
Yeah, it does. Like I think I am in the minority on this one. When it's, I thought people were gonna be like, "No, this is crazy." It's like, no, I think people are a little more into the IP mashup movie than I would like.
Yeah, like, I thought for sure this was going to be the same level of popularity as the new Space Jam.
Yeah.
But so far, this one has it, like, blown out of the water.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it does do what Space Jam wanted to do a little more right, I guess.
I think you're
it
right.
It does. It's unfortunate because it does do a lot of things right, so.
That being said, I didn't watch the new Space Jam because I heard it was such a shit show.
Right. Same.
So I can't judge the two movies against each other, although it might be fun.
And I already have weird feelings about the original Space Jam anyway. Like,
oh, you do?
Where it's like, I enjoy it, but I'm like, I don't know. I question it, like, sometimes.
Sure, that makes sense.
It feels like that's why we get things like the Snyder Cut and stuff like that. It's like, look at things like Space Jam, which was inspired by a fucking commercial, guys. Like, come on. Like you don't get any more obvious than that. commercialism, exactly.
That's right.
Well, we are delaying the inevitable. Let's get into this crazy
movie. I'm freaking excited.
It's a crazy movie. Let's do it. It needs the exclamation point.
It does. It definitely does.
So let's talk about Moulin Rouge! A timeless story set in a time and place many now will find difficult to imagine, because it was a place straight out of the most elegant and salacious of imaginations. The year is 1899. The place is Paris. More specifically, the bordello, dance hall, and nightclub known as the Moulin Rouge. The story is familiar. A naive, penniless writer falls in love with the beautiful and enchanting courtesan, Satine, who is being courted by a rich and powerful patron, the Duke. The Duke, who talks in that most annoying of accents.
Yes.
I fucking hate it. But her heart longs for the writer. And just as we find the story and characters familiar, so too might we recognize music and lyrics that decorate the elaborate theatrical film on display. Though the lovers, Christian and Satine, try to keep their affair a secret, the Duke eventually demands control over the Moulin Rouge and Satine herself, who is already falling prey to her fate, a slow and sinister sickness that causes her coughing fits and fainting spells. Though her world of vice demands she relent and commit herself to the cruel Duke, Satine's heart remains defiant. And just as was promised in the lovers' shared song, Satine loved Christian until her dying day. Though filled with melodrama and tragedy, the outrageous and spectacular musical film offers plenty of humor and is a tribute to the enduring power of love.
Yeah.
Bish? No. I mean, mise en compétence, you know? Like, that's the only French I know, and it's from Home Alone. you know what the French call les incompétents. Les incompétents. Anywho, man, yeah. So, a lot going on. Very operatic. Very, again, like, timeless comes to mind. Because, yeah. You know. And definitely, like, comes from a lover of the theater and... Mm-hmm. I heard that Baz Luhrmann, the director, was inspired by Bollywood films, and that makes sense.
That does, like, check out, right?
Because it's got that same... Bollywood films are so fun because they do. They just... They'll have a musical sequence. They'll have a dance sequence. Mm-hmm. They, like... There's the melodrama. There's... Yeah, it's got everything.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, this was... And what energy. Like, I was worried the opening energy had me overwhelmed at first. I was like, okay, wait, like, way too many cuts. Way too many cuts going on.
It is like a statement at the beginning. And it does set a weird... This whole movie has, like, such a weird tone.
Yeah. Yes. That specific to this director. Like, yeah.
Okay, yeah. You recognize it from... I feel like it's very, like, isolated in its own section of movies.
Because it's the and same musicals. Guy that did Romeo plus Juliet.
Oh, that checks out.
And, like, definitely, again, the opening of Romeo plus Juliet definitely feels like this. Like, the opening of...
Yeah.
I feel like this director likes to start with that high energy, like, just grab you, and it's like, we're doing this! It's like, oh my god,
yeah,
okay!
Yeah, like, hop on, yeah, for sure.
Okay, I'm in, I guess. Fortunately, they did, like, dial back on the edits and the cuts, like...
As
it went along, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I think there was a reviewer that said that there's he couldn't watch the movie because of that. It's like, no, you needed to stick around, like,
yeah, just like hold on because it pays off.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
like leads into this other energy. Mm-hmm. But it does start really intense.
Very intense. A
little bit. No, the whole thing.
Very
so small. Very
but and yeah, lots of like close-ups of faces and like,
yeah,
you do feel like it frequently tries to make you feel like you're going mad, almost. Like.
Yeah, for sure. And we, like, really definitely do get it from that writer's perspective, too, which is nice.
Yes, Christian.
Christian.
played by Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
A very young Ewan McGregor.
So young.
And I think in the midst of Star Wars fame. So.
Damn.
So he was doing good. Never did anything like this again.
Once was enough.
Bastard. Like seriously. He
really sells it.
Like, seriously. His energy is good. The Hugh Jack, like, we could have had another Hugh Jackman on our hands.
For sure. Hugh Jackman was considered for this part.
Ah.
Which checks out, right?
Yeah.
He loves theater.
Right.
Two that were really, they were really seriously considering were,
Heath Ledger. Too young.
And, oh my God, Kate Winslet, I think I read.
Oh, and Kate Winslet. Ah, interesting. I would have loved to have seen it.
Would
have loved to have seen it.
That would have been fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we hop into some Q&A?
Q&A, let's do it.
Let's just get right into it. So, I don't know the answer to this question. Do you like Nicole Kidman?
Right?
Because, you know, she's like an actress that most people have a very strong opinion about.
Mm.
And I just don't know yours. I know our mom dislikes her a lot.
And this is the movie that she would probably hold up, I think. Because this seems filled with, like, opportunities for mom to be like, why is she, she's breathless all the time and stuff. It's like, it's a choice. It's trying to be dramatic. And she's putting on a part as well. There's a few, we get levels with Nicole Kidman in this one. This is definitely, I'd chalk it up to a good performance from her.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But I don't always think so. So that is the thing. Like, I think she's a decent enough actress, just in the right stuff. I feel like she does a lot. Like, I feel like the world is trying to tell me, it's like, no, Nicole Kidman's a great actress. But I'm like, she's all right.
She's fine. I kind of have the same opinion of her. One movie that, like, shines to me is Practical Magic with Sandra Bullock.
Great. Maybe early Nicole Kidman.
Yeah. Have you seen that one?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's, I hear it's
oh,
a great
my God.
One.
It's
yeah.
so good. That's going on your list. so that's good. So you thought she did
good job in that. Like, this is a good one. Like, I like her in, it's a tough movie to get into, but Eyes Wide Shut.
Okay.
Yeah, Eyes Wide Shut. She does good in that, but it's a fucking crazy movie. That was when she was with Tom Cruise and everything.
That checks out.
Yeah. And I actually like her. It's not a great parter necessarily, but she does fine. Batman Forever. Like,
yeah, I agree with that.
Like, yeah. But she's big now. Like, she's doing a lot of TV and stuff these days.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say most people really like her, and I'm just sort of like, I'm always on the cusp. Like, is it going to be something I like? I like her in this. There are
The Others. Holy shit. She's great in The Others.
I don't know what that is.
The Others? I am your daughter.
Oh, fuck.
Scary fucking movie.
Yeah, I remember that
but
shit.
She did good.
That
was a good movie.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Scary. Really scary.
Scary.
But good. Good. That's good to know. Yeah. And the chemistry between them?
Yeah, really good.
Kind of palpable, right?
Yeah, yeah. Very well done. Didn't this come out around the time of Titanic? I feel like this was held up against Titanic a lot.
2001?
Okay, so not
so
far off.
2 or 3 years later.
Yeah, that checks out.
Checks out.
Hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that. And there were some parts, like, it kills me when she's, like, acting. Her character is acting.
Yeah.
Like, at the beginning when she's, like, putting on a charade, thinking he's the Duke, and she's, like...
It's a bit much.
...on the bed, like, moaning while he's trying to recite poetry.
I was
this is too much.
Yeah, right.
But it was definitely, like, her character was trying to act, so it was, like, I understood why she did it the way she did it, but I was, like...
Yeah.
...glad that that was just, like, a short while.
Exactly. Because then after that, then she starts belting some awesome songs.
Yeah.
She's got a great song. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I know you're not a huge fan of musicals. Did the jukebox style work for you in this? What did you think of the set?
See, I actually like the jukebox style. The jukebox style of musicals, great.
Yeah, because you're a fan of, like, you liked Across the Universe.
Yeah, Across the
Universe. Which was, like, the Beatles jukebox.
Shouldn't have done that. Yeah, exactly. So, see, doing stuff like that, like, they had this movie came out, it might have been called I'm the Boss or something, which was all Bruce Springsteen songs.
Oh, that's fun.
And then you have, like, the movie yesterday. So that's kind of still like across the universe.
Across the universe, more trippy.
So you can do a lot with it where it's like, so this one, it was kind of all over the place because it had modern songs.
They had no mixed specific with old genre. School. Yeah.
So, but I think what ties it all together is love and like it's supposed to be capturing that tone of exuberance and spectacle and stuff. And so a lot of the songs that we do today are big production numbers. So
yeah,
makes sense. I liked that. That works for me. And I love clashing of styles. Like,
me too.
Think Hamilton. Like, yes. Imagine that pitch. Like, yeah, I want to tell the story of Alexander Hamilton. Who? Oh, he's one of our founding fathers. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's gonna be set time period and all that good stuff, and but it's a musical. Oh, okay. So, but wait, like chamber music? No, rap.
I'm sure that was such a hard pitch.
Fucking had to be tough.
I can just picture him singing each song, doing a one-man
show. Oh, yeah,
show
for absolutely. He's pitching it to. I feel like that's what he did.
Like, he had to have, probably, because once you hear the music, you're like, no, it fucking works.
Okay, never mind, I'm in.
But, like, yeah, written down on paper, you're like, this is weird as this shit. Weird, I'm going to pass. Bro.
Like, yeah, this is too. That is one of those. This is risky. Like,
yeah.
But no, so overall, yeah, this works for me. I'm surprised. It took too long for it to become a stage musical, in my opinion. It's crazy. But it does exist. Like, sometimes we do need some musical films too, and this is a strong musical film.
I agree with that statement.
Yeah.
Did you like the set? I think the set is so beautiful.
Because then, the sets were purposely looking theatrical. Like, because we forget, like, it sets it up that this is supposed to be a staged show, sort of.
Sort of. It's like a show within a show, if you will.
I love that conductor in the beginning, too, man. He is a fucking living life. Like, holy crap.
I know.
Love that shit. Yeah.
Every time that part comes on, I'm like, yes, I know what I'm in for.
Well done. No, I like that style. And that seems to be a growing popular style of musical, the jukebox musical.
Totally. And I think that there's definitely a market for it. I love pretty much any brand of musical.
Yeah.
I really haven't met one that I haven't liked yet. But I do like the jukebox ones as well because I'm like, oh, I can sing along even though I've never seen this before.
Yeah, right.
You know, that kind of like makes you feel like almost included in part of it, you know?
Yeah.
When you're watching it. So it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Versus, like, you know, the first time I saw Wicked, I knew, like, little pieces of some of the songs.
Right.
But
the
then,
thing.
Right. Then you go home and, like, you binge listen to it over and over until you have it memorized.
So how was that? So that you were kind of coming in fresh with that one, right? Like,
yeah,
you
really
didn't listen
fresh
to the soundtrack like you did Hamilton.
Right. Hamilton, like, I listened to the soundtrack. I had seen the Disney Plus, like, film of it. Wicked, I had read the book screenplay.
Okay, yeah. Oh, okay.
So I had read that going into it, but, like, you don't really know what those songs are.
Exactly.
Until you hear them.
Yes. Or the production, like, what's going on. So,
oh, my God, Wicked.
I bet
cool.
you, like, listen more, like, right? Like,
you're you do. You're really paying attention.
Yeah.
Because you want to catch, because the music's really part of the dialogue.
Yeah, right.
In musicals, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Totes.
Totes my goats. The most powerful theme of this movie is love.
Fucking love.
This movie has a lot to say about materialistic things and the artsy way of the bohemian lifestyle.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the director had anything to say about theater? We kind of touched on a little bit.
Yeah. Because he was inspired by Bollywood. So this guy did love theater. Well, he likes dance halls.
Okay.
Because what Baz Luhrmann likes to do, he loves his dance sequences, and he does them good, though. Like,
he does,
wouldn't have it any other way. This is the same guy that did the new Great Gatsby movie.
Oh, awesome.
And he's also directing the new Elvis Presley movie.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God, that looks good, actually.
It looks interesting, and because it's Baz Luhrmann, it will be interesting, because, like, yeah, like, the director of Moulin Rouge telling the Elvis Presley story. Like, what?
You know, that sort of checks out. Like, listening to this, watching this, and then watching the trailer for the new Elvis movie.
Yes.
It kind of makes sense because the energy in that is, like, so intense as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like,
yeah,
that, he likes to do that.
I like that. I'm excited now going into that, knowing that.
Yes. So he'll do, because it's a great, yeah, it's a great artist for him to focus on. Like, Elvis, like, this guy, yeah, he knew how to move, so.
Yeah.
And this guy knows how to capture actors moving.
Well, and it's cool, too, that they're showing, like, a bit more of Elvis's roots. Like, he would, like, sneak into black churches.
Yes.
And so you're going to get to see a little more of, like, the inspiration behind the way he moves and the way he sings.
Exactly, yes. Yes. Yeah, it does look pretty interesting. And Tom Hanks is in it, too. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's super weird. And he looks like he's going to be kind of the bad guy, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totes my goats. Come what may. Okay.
but yeah, so he likes Bollywood and dancing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Sorry, he likes. So right. Where that's we were right. At. but no, I think, a lover of the theater. This is, again, like, it's surprising how long it took to become a stage musical, because it clearly wanted to be. Like,
yeah.
It was a filmed, like, stage show almost, but not in the way that Hamilton is. It still needed to be a film, because it's using film techniques as well, so.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a big, bold movie.
It is a big, bold movie.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's pretty much all I had. Did you have a favorite music sequence? I can ask that.
Oh,
well.
Yeah. And yay. It's, well, it's tied to my favorite scene.
So. Okay, cool. Let's hop into the favorites.
Favorites. Or in this case, favorites.
Very nice. favorite performance.
I mean, it's got to go to Ewan McGregor.
He's like, so
as awesome
compelling.
As Nicole Kidman does, especially, but it's like on a curve.
Right.
It's like, right. Nicole, you did good this time. Ewan McGregor, it's like, yeah, he just opens that mouth and that voice comes out and you're like,
it's
yeah.
It's like the voice of an angel. And he is, like, so compelling in this. Like, they do such a good job of showing a guy falling in, a hopeful
a sensitive
guy falling
man
in love.
Too.
And then getting completely crushed by love.
Please don't sleep with him. Please don't fucking sleep with him. It's
it
like,
so
oh my
sad,
God.
Man.
It's
it was rough.
Yeah. It's like, but I'm a whore. Like,
and then, yeah, like, but the drunken anger that he feels, like, all of it was so, yeah. He did so good. And then watching so him, good. Like, type the story out was really lovely.
Yeah.
He really sold it.
Great performance.
He was awesome. I totally agree with that.
So, Ewan McGregor, and then honorable mention does go to Jim Broadbent, actually, who played Zidler. Who I liked that character a lot. He was more complex than I thought. Like,
yeah.
I thought he was going to be just kind of our straight up villain, but no, he actually cares about Satine. Because
sort of.
They have a history and everything like that. He ends up wanting her to be happy in the end. Like,
he punches the
Duke out and stuff like that. He cares a little more about Moulin Rouge and stuff like that than Satine, but he comes around a bit eventually.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, I liked that guy's, I don't know, I liked the performance. I liked the take on it. And, very big, and, like, he contributes to the songs really well. He's got an interesting look. To me, he's, because this is loosely based off of that, old myth story about the she's the reason that we have seasons and everything. She is the wife of Hades, and somebody falls in love with her, and he travels all the way down to the underworld to be with her and stuff like that. And Zidler in this case, I think, is supposed to be Hades, like, not the Duke. Like, Duke is evil, but I don't think he's supposed to be the devil. I think Zidler's the devil and Satine is, you know, his companion.
Yeah.
And he's got that level of understanding. Like, he even says, like, you know, we're from the underworld. Like,
yeah,
we don't have love. We don't get the luxury of love.
Yeah, the characters, like, the Moulin Rouge characters are very, like, circus-y.
Yeah.
Circus-esque, right?
Very.
So whenever they mention Bohemian, like, it ties into that, like, sort of circus way that they live their lives.
Yeah.
He did a good job of portraying that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, Zidler. Honorable mention. Jim Broadbent. Good job.
Yeah, he did a really good job.
And that actor, you know, you recognize, he's one of those British actors that shows up and stuff.
They, like, cut a pretty major scene that showed part of why he was so desperate to have the Duke, which was that he invested all of the money that they made from the Moulin Rouge into electric lighting.
Oh.
And I almost wish they would have kept that, because then you would understand a little. He wouldn't really be a villain at all in that situation,
yeah,
right? He'd be trying to save everyone.
Mm.
But, like, it opens up with them getting money thrown at them, and you're like, why does he care about the Duke? Like, why does he want that money? But if you know that little piece of backstory, it
that's
kind
cool.
of helps.
I bet
they
carried that into the stage musical, because this finally is a stage musical now.
Hell yeah.
I think it's part of the season at Portland this season,
God,
which kind of makes me want to see
Let's do it. We're going.
Came
so
out
fucking cool.
Very recently. And that's what I was playing earlier. That's from
musical. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I knew it wasn't Christina Aguilera.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But she's great.
No, they did good. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Heck yeah.
I love that. Okay, cool. Favorite scene?
Roxanne.
Yeah.
Dude. That was good shit.
Mm-hmm.
That got, I was like, this is sexy but dangerous.
Oh my God, yes. And the
I like
dance
that
they
shit.
Do,
like, it's got that tango feel where. Yeah,
totally.
Man, it's got lust, but there's, but no, it is love, but it's that dangerous kind of love, you know, because that's part of love. Like, sometimes you love them so much that you just want to fucking kill them. Like,
I guess. I love that too.
Yeah.
That's such a good scene.
It's a really good sequence and great remix of that song.
For sure.
Roxanne. Like, yeah, well done. Yeah, good stuff.
Love it.
Love it.
Favorite quote?
A story about a time. A story about a place, a story about the people, but above all things, a story about love, a love that will live forever. The end. See, I love that shit, especially that end part where it's like, a love that will live forever, so that, you know, sets up, it's like, on enduring, the end.
Yeah.
To me, that's it, that's life, you know? It's like,
totally.
Yes, proceed as if you're going to live forever, and then you don't.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's great.
And that's why I like the idea of conclusions and why movies should, like, accept that idea instead of what we do now where it's just like, no, it can endure forever.
And ever. And ever. And ever.
It's like, no, just let it end.
Dude, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I was always terrified of tuberculosis.
Oh.
Because of watching things like this where in plays
coughing
and
up
stuff
blood.
And people die, like, just dying.
Yeah.
Then I was older and I was like, I found out, oh, it can be treated with one round of antibiotics. But they didn't have antibiotics back then.
No, exactly.
And so people died from it every day.
And
fucking crazy
I think
shit,
they
man.
Say, like, they officially say consumption for her,
so
right? Which is
then,
weird.
They used
oh,
the
that
word
was just
consumption
the answer.
For almost every disease.
Yeah. Okay.
But very commonly, it was definitely tuberculosis that
yeah,
killed her,
for
sure.
Yeah, I thought so.
But yeah, they used consumption as they
I
did.
It was like consumption.
They didn't have that. I think that they named it tuberculosis in like 1906 or something.
Oh,
so.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Very tragic, but.
Very tragic.
I love that shit. It's like, that's.
I love it. Yeah. I was like, fuck, this is sadder than I remember, because it does have this like weird upbeat tone to this story of greed and love and heartache and death, you know? But it has this upbeat tone and you're singing songs and you're like, it is fun. But
the only the only reason it's happy is that he went on to write the story and like carried on with his life. Otherwise.
It would have ended on a bummer fucking note if it just ended with her dying.
Like, yeah.
Like, but we get to see that he's the one telling the story now.
And he didn't.
And I do love it when people tell people's stories. Like, that's, I'm a sucker for that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Originally, they were going to have him telling the story
to
their 3-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. And I'm kind of glad they didn't.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad this doesn't have any kids in it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. So, it's time for our 3 R's.
All right. The three. Yeah, 3 R's now. We added
four
an
R's.
R. Four.
Rate.
Oh, yeah. 4 hours.
And what was the other? Insane right now.
Would you rewatch, recommend
rate it, and then would you reboot it?
Would you reboot it?
Reboot. Yep. I'm making a new line for the reboot. So let's start with, would you rewatch or recommend?
So rewatch, yes, for sure. It's a little long, but no,
like
you can endure it.
Too long, right?
Like, yeah. Recommend, absolutely. Like, this is included in the list of 1001 movies to watch before you die. I think that's valid.
Yeah. That checks out.
And frankly, we should have more movies. I'm surprised we didn't get more movies like this. Yeah. We had a few attempts, but nah.
Nothing hits this level.
Make more movies like this.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
You bastards. Get on it.
What would you rate this out of 5 stars?
I give it a solid 4 because some of, like, again, like that opening, I was worried. I was just like, oh God, this is like
this
sensory
is a
1-star overload.
For me.
Sensory overload. I'm just not going to be able to follow anything. Like,
nah,
it's just faces.
Out.
Like, yeah.
But chills it is out. So intense.
4 stars.
Boy. And then would you reboot it or remake it?
So I think that got taken care of because if I were to reboot it, it would be as a stage musical.
Play. Yeah.
And so they did that. So I think we're in the clear. So now would I reboot it as a film again? Fuck me. They're probably going to fucking do that because then they're just going to say, oh, it's a film version of the stage musical.
You're not wrong.
It's like, wait, now we're in a weird loop but wasn't the stage musical based on the movie? It's like, yes.
Yes.
But.
And the Moulin Rouge is a real place in Paris.
And it wasn't Harold Zidler, it was something else, but Zidler was a real person.
Yep.
Yeah.
We didn't see a show there because it was 200 euro each.
Oh.
It was very expensive,
but
it includes dinner.
Oh, nice.
So that part is kind of nice, but we just didn't, like, we were traveling on a budget, so we didn't do it. But we did, like, go by it, and it was a very cool building. It was very beautiful.
Very good.
Yeah, really cool place.
That's awesome.
Paris has a lot of cool shows.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Makes sense. Awesome. So I think that takes care of that movie. So shall we move on to...
Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Yeah, baby!
I need you to do that 20 more times. all right, here we go.
Does
in
he
my
really do
own
it?
Words,
Does
I mean
really
a lot.
Do that a lot?
It's
oh,
a
shit.
Lot.
You okay.
didn't, yeah, it's
Guess
a lot.
I didn't realize, yeah.
Oh, I noticed.
Randy,
Myers
baby.
Is so, like, he's an interesting fella.
He is. He most certainly is. So tell me a little something about Austin Powers.
In this sequel, Dr. Evil gets his hands on a sketchy time machine to travel back to 1969. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, baby. There, he plans on stealing Austin Powers' mojo.
It's mojo. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Powers realizes his wife is a bot and he destroys her. Mm. He feels unsure of himself and realizes something happened to his mojo.
Oh, shit.
So he travels back to the 1960s and teams up with a CIA bombshell, Felicity Shagwell. Can they defeat Dr. Evil along with his mini-me and the fat bastard? There you have it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sounds like such an array of colorful characters, which it is.
Yeah. What a ride, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And, okay, so, I mean, Mike Myers, like, how do you feel about that guy? He doesn't do a lot these days.
He doesn't do a lot. Mostly what I know him for is, like, Shrek. Was he the voice
of
Shrek?
Oh, Shrek, yep.
So Shrek and then the Austin Powers movies are what I know him for mostly.
Because, yeah, right, Wayne's World, that's a little too far back.
And I did watch Wayne's World, and I remember watching it, like, with you. I know you really liked it when we were kids.
Right.
And
but
so
it is more of our brothers and sisters generation.
It is
older
more
brothers
of a Gen
X. Gen X.
Movie.
Well, Mike Myers and I would definitely
call him
categorize a Gen X comedian.
Mm-hmm.
His level of humor is pretty Gen X, especially, yeah, Wayne's World, like, those are, yeah, for Gen Xers, by Gen Xers.
For sure.
But overall, you think the guy's funny? Like, has he made something that was amiss? Like, okay, did you see The Love Guru?
I did not. I did not, but I did read on IMDb that the love guru was supposed to be like a big part in this movie, but then they just decided to make a love guru movie.
Oh,
he was going to help him like find his mojo, and like he was going to work with him through. And I guess
that makes a whole bunch sense. That they cut. Wow.
And decided to give him his own film.
Wow.
And maybe I've seen it, but I don't. If I did, I sort of blacked it out, kind of thing.
Yep. That.
I don't really remember it.
Good call.
Just like I don't really have a lot of memory of the third Austin Powers.
You know.
And the first two I remember. Fair, you know, like enough. I get them confused in my brain.
Yeah, same. I do mix sequences from both together.
Yeah, same.
Goldmember, it's good. It's just not as good.
It's just the
Austin
not
Powers
as good.
Movie.
Yeah. But I like him. I think he's cool.
Yeah.
He's not like Jack Black level of cool.
Yep.
But yeah. He's cool in his own right.
Right.
And I would say that they have like similar styles.
He has his like stock characters, right?
Yeah.
Like he just kind of has these accents that he slips into, these characters.
Yeah, I do love the voices that he does.
Yeah.
I think
the Scottish
really
one's great.
It is so good.
Do you have a favorite Mike Myers character? Like whether it be from this, Wayne's World, Shrek even.
I mean, like would Shrek it? Is so solid, man.
Yeah.
The first Shrek movie and the second were both second so Shrek. Good.
There's a third, and then there's a fourth. Like, I saw the third. I was like, no, you're not
we
getting me
done
for the
at
fourth.
That point, and I never watched the fourth either. It just wasn't happening.
Mm-mm.
No, but probably I loved Shrek a lot. Like, I had a lot of love for that film, and I still will watch it really fondly, and it holds up. It's funny
it's
as
great.
Fuck.
It's fucking great.
Even as an adult, I'm like, this is funny shit.
Yeah. And he's basically doing the fat bastard voice a little different, maybe.
Just a little bit different,
more,
yeah.
Like, understandable and, like, less abrasive.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't put the scene in here because it's my least favorite scene.
Oh, okay.
But when he's, like, gonna drink the poop coffee, and he ends up doing it, of course.
Yep.
I was, like, gagging.
Yeah.
On the couch, even though in my head I'm like, you know, this is like food coloring water.
Exactly. You have to tell yourself that though,
but I
because
was
like they go for it.
I was gagging. I was like, this is fucking gross.
This tastes like shit. Or no, it's a bit nutty. So gross. Gen Xers, see, you're gross.
It's fucking gross, man.
We are in the middle of Q&A, by the way. I just didn't announce it.
Excellent. Good.
And then, so you've seen all of the Austin Powers movies. So I think we can rank them, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, what would you rank them?
I think for me, it's 2, 1, 3.
Okay, yeah.
I think.
So
I
2 feel, is better than 1, huh?
I feel like I like it more.
Yeah.
And I liked the first one, too, a lot.
Mm-hmm. It sucks because, like... First one has
Elizabeth Hurley.
She's so great and gorgeous.
And when I think about that, I'm like, maybe I like one.
Yeah,
better.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's hard.
They're both really good. This is a really strong sequel.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
So this is comprised of bits. Like when we do straight up comedies, it's kind of hard. But what are your favorite bits in this? Like everybody's got their go tos.
The yeah, baby's fun, like the phrase that he likes to say.
Mm-hmm.
I love, like, that when he goes back to the 60s, like, he goes into this room and there's pictures of him on the wall. And then you go back to the current time and there's pictures of him all over the wall. Like, just how much, like, he is obsessed with himself.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Right.
To me.
Yes.
Totes
my goats.
Totes my goats.
Now, was this the... I don't think the first movie... This was when we got the dick joke, right? Yes, this is the
dick rocket joke.
Yeah.
Which...
I mean, killed. Like...
So good. And even now, it's like when Jeff Bezos was going on the moon, everybody was like...
Yep. And seriously, though.
Good, like, Austin Powers joke, man.
Yeah, for sure. Most expensive joke of all time. God damn
I'm
it.
Trying to remember now, the $1 million was the first one, right?
Ah, $1 million.
Because that's a bit I love, and yes. I still do to this day.
Yeah.
Is that the first? That was the first one,
I think,
right?
So.
I don't think
but
I
But then
saw
they
it
did it in this
they
one
did it
again.
To,
yeah.
Yeah, to, yes. Mm-hmm.
Because they do like to recycle jokes, too.
For sure. For sure. When I watched this as a younger person, I loved the mini-me shit. But now I'm like, oh, it's a little insensitive.
Yes, right. A little insensitive. Mike Myers can be that way. Yeah.
I've never thought that the fat jokes were funny, so I never liked the fat bastard bit, like, ever.
Right. Yeah, not cool, man. Like, Yeah, exactly. Because see,
but that was like a very common sense of humor. It was that like Gen, not to, obviously some Gen Xers probably don't think it's funny, but like it was that brand of comedy. Like in Friends, they had Monica in a fat suit.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Like
yep.
It was definitely a thing in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yes,
for some reason.
True, Nutty Professor.
Yeah,
like, yeah
see,
yeah.
Yes, exactly. Crazy. So it is just sort of like something that we've just become a more sensitive culture about, which is good.
Which is good.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because like I never liked it, so.
Right. Awesome. So it's been a while since Goldmember. Would you see a new Austin Powers movie? Well, that kind of ties into reboot, so let's save that.
Okay.
I think we can go right into, or so Heather Graham is in this.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think of her? We were kind of talking about her off the air.
Yes, Heather Graham. Which one does she play?
Shagwell.
She is Shagwell.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I have her written. I really like her. And I actually read something really interesting that she was, like, about to sign on to do a porno when she got offered this role.
Was this, like, her break? No, she did.
This was, like,
Boogie Nights.
So she hadn't gotten a good job in over 5 years.
Okay, so that might have been it.
And
okay.
So she was like, I might do this porn. And she was, like, about to sign on to it when Hurley couldn't do this movie.
Uh-huh.
She was busy.
Right, right.
And so, you know, they were like, well, it makes sense. We're kind of mocking 007s, and he had a new girl in every movie. So,
true.
Like, let's give him a new girl.
Yep.
And then they asked her, you know, to do it, and she was, like, sweet. And,
and
she
then
said,
I think this did, yeah, kick her off into high gear. I
it
think
did.
It did. That's awesome. And that makes sense. Like, you know, I mean, you know, the porn industry missed out on a
she
amazing
said that the first
actress.
Thing she did when she got paid was, like, buy a copy of that porn when it came out, which I thought was
that's
very
sweet.
Cute.
See,
yeah.
See, this is what I like about her. She is very, she's of that sector, thank God, that we have in Hollywood that's, like, sexually liberated and is vocal about it.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, yeah.
There's plenty of people
she has a sense of humor about sex, too.
Yeah.
Like, she likes to say that, where it's just, like, you know, sometimes, like, or especially our attitudes toward sex is hilarious, where it's just, like,
right.
Get over ourselves.
Just get over
most
it,
of
man.
Most of the time. And she does some really daring movies in that way, too. So, yeah, cool. She's a great, she's a cool girl.
She cool. I was just looking to see.
And she's gorgeous.
She is gorgeous. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely remember. Like, I always, anytime I see her, I'm like, oh, I like her.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Unlike when we watch Nicole Kidman, we're like, is this a good one? Is it not?
Maybe. Watching, maybe. Yeah.
She was also in what I remember her most from mm-hmm. growing up is Scrubs.
Oh,
do you remember?
I forgot.
She was Jamie's
yeah.
girlfriend.
Right, right.
For a while.
A couple seasons?
Yeah. Hmm. And then we found out she had, like, a drug problem.
Well, but, I mean, that's so?
Well, she was stealing them from the hospital.
I mean, so?
No, so I definitely have fond memories of her, like, growing up because I loved Scrubs. And anytime I see her, I'm like, oh, I like that chick.
Yeah.
She's cool.
She's great. So now it's time for our favorite questions.
Favorites.
So, favorite performance.
That would be Mike Myers as Austin Powers.
Aha.
Right, because he is many characters in this movie.
It's interesting. I guess people would, a lot of people have love for Dr. Evil. A
lot of people love Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
And I think Dr. Evil is funny because he's clearly mocking, like, every bad guy that wants world domination.
Yes.
throwing shit. but I do love his, like, portrayal of this, like, hippie, shaggy, like, super weirdly hairy
shaggy,
man.
Yeah, right.
who has this, like, weird, like, sexual energy with women that by looking at him you wouldn't guess.
Yes, right.
Right? Like, yeah. He's just this, like, anomaly of a character, and I find him hilarious. I do.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome.
My honorary mention goes to
yeah.
Heather Graham.
Awesome.
Who is Felicity Shagwell, because
Shagwell.
She's awesome. She's so hot.
Badass.
She's cool.
And she can go toe-to-toe with Austin.
Yeah.
Favorite scene.
My favorite scene is when Powers goes back to the 60s and he is just like in his element and he is like dancing and there's like girls all around him and like there's the shag carpet and just like the whole bit.
They even do like cutaway scenes in between sometimes where they show the in the hippie outfits and stuff.
Yeah.
Like the cut scenes.
Yeah, I love it.
Cutting to a different location or whatever. Perfect. Favorite quote.
My favorite quote, which I think was improvised, was from Austin. He says, "You know what's remarkable is how much England looks like, in no way, like Southern California." Like, I was laughing so hard because it's like, at least he called it out. Like, you know, obviously this was not shot in England.
Yeah, no way.
It was definitely shot in Southern California. You can see, like, the hills behind him as he's saying that, and anybody that lives in California knows.
They know those hills.
Yeah.
That's amazing. See, I love, like, see, that's the Mike Myers sense of humor right there. Like,
yeah.
Straight out of Wayne's World. It's just like, I will bow to no sponsor, meanwhile eating Doritos, taking a Pizza Hut slice.
Right.
Like, it's great. Funny.
I love it.
Would you rewatch or recommend?
Yes and yes.
Yeah, I mean, right? Like, it holds up.
It holds up.
It's good,
like,
for a chuckle.
But, you know, like, I did still enjoy watching it. And it's such a short, like, it's an hour and a half. So you're just, like, in and out.
Yep.
And it doesn't overstay its welcome, which a movie like this could.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
But
a
it doesn't.
A lot of the comedies do these days. Hangover. Oh, which Heather Graham went on to be in, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was in Hangover.
And then how out of 5 stars, how many stars do you give Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me?
I'm going to give it 3.5.
3.5. Solid. Yeah.
So it's a solid movie, but like not my favorite, but I did enjoy it.
And it's a comedy.
It's a comedy. So I was
so
laughing.
So much substance is there, really.
Right.
I mean, if there is a message, what is it?
Saying no to world domination.
Yeah.
Guessing.
And then would you
have sex even if you lose your mojo? I'm not really sure what the message is.
You could make your own mojo. Or you make your own mojo.
I did think it was also really fun when he like jumped in the time machine from 10 minutes before. Like I was just like, there's so many Mike Myers on the screen right now.
There's so many. So would you reboot this? And by that, I guess we could say, like, should this get another edition? You know? Like, maybe not at this point.
I feel like no is the right answer here.
Yeah. Like,
because I think it's hard to make a comedy like this now. I can watch this and know, like, they meant no harm or intention. But, like, for the next one, if they did it totally PC, it might not be as funny.
Yeah, for sure.
And they'd
have to get too meta.
I don't know. So I feel like it like sits where it is, and I enjoy it
now,
in that time capsule.
What if they go for full-blown reboot where it's Austin Powers played by new guy? Andy Samberg.
Oh, he could probably do it, okay? I'm just going to say that. I don't know how good his accents are.
Yeah, he doesn't do a good British, but but does Mike Myers? Yeah, actually. Yeah, he does.
He does a, like,
it's passable.
Interesting British voice.
Yeah.
It's like, it's from a certain place in Britain that I don't know where it is, but that accent is from.
Queen's English. Yeah. Okay, so that's a no. No reboot this time.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Solid. I'm going to say no.
Let it live.
Because I think that it should be where it is.
Yeah.
They've talked a lot about an Austin Powers 4, and I just hope it doesn't happen.
You know, and
because,
like
all three of these were pretty good.
And it tends to be with these comedies. Like, yeah, I think, like, no. Like, same with, I was in this boat for a long time, like, new Ace Ventura, man. But I don't know. I think, nah.
I thought they were doing it.
Oh, I don't know.
With Jim Carrey.
I might have to see it.
If they do it, I will watch it.
Yeah,
just
I'll have
saying.
To. Yeah.
But again, Jim Carrey's another one where like some of his older movies wouldn't pass today.
Exactly. Yeah.
But they were great.
Like you're worried. Like I was worried Ace Ventura 2 was gonna be like,
awful.
Oh no, because I mean it's set in Africa, like,
right?
And he's going like African tribes and all this stuff. There is some of that, but for the most part, nah.
I think it's... Jim Carrey has always been, like, a good-hearted person and will always try not to offend anyone. Right. Even back when he was doing, like,
he's got some of that mean-spirited humor sometimes, though. But again, it's of the, yeah, generation of the time and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But, like, yeah, right. So, like, new Wayne's... I'd probably see a new Wayne's World before a new Austin Powers.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
What about a new Shrek?
No.
No, fucking stop.
I think they still have Shrek cartoons or something, like TV shows.
Yeah, you're right. Or they do, like, specials and stuff.
And it's like, just don't.
Yeah.
Just don't. Because, like, the first two were so good. Just let it be.
Agreed. Well, now it's time to make... the connections, right? We've talked about both of our movies, and now it's time to make the connection.
And then we do
that. Listen to this.
Chess pawns, clock, matches, all physical objects man-made.
Small in size, light in weight. It's the connection.
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware.
Of what?
Our connection.
And so, we are all connected. In the great circle of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? I love that.
Hell yeah.
All right. So, connection time.
It's time.
What did you come up with?
All right. Both movies are weird in their own right.
Yeah.
Both movies use women as sex symbols.
Wow. Yeah.
Both show sex-obsessed men.
Yeah.
Wow. Both villains want to control and have jealousy issues.
Yay. Yeah, jealousy, Ayo. Definitely. I had that. Both movies feature actors who will... What? Oh, okay. Both movies feature actors who, with the use of CGI or practical effects, are physically altered to appear drastically different. So in Moulin Rouge, it's John Leguizamo, who they made look like a dwarf,
yes,
short person. And then in Austin Powers, it's fat bastard mostly. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess you could even say, like, both movies have people in fat suits.
Yeah.
Both have song references.
Yeah, that's true.
Both have a play within a play or a movie within a movie. Right? Because did we get the Tom Cruise sequence at the end of this one?
Or no, oh, yeah.
Is that this one? Or is it Goldmember?
Fuck, I don't...
Uh-oh. I think that's Goldmember, isn't it?
I think you're right.
Okay, never mind.
But still, good connections.
Damn it. No movie within a movie. Oh, well. But no, you're... Connect. No, you had better connections by far. But no, like, especially the weirdness, like, yeah, that definitely checks
out.
Yeah,
they are both weird movies.
Not exactly the most solid double feature that we've had on the
show. Definitely not. It was real weird to watch them back to back. I watched Austin first, which I think was maybe the right choice.
Probably the right choice, yeah.
I think so. But it was definitely, yeah, not quite a double feature. It was really weird.
Awesome. So that there's our connections. And now, you know, if you liked Moulin Rouge, if you liked Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, here are some movie matches that we made for you to recommend movies that you might like just as much.
But look at this nice thing, though, we have here.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find, catch me a catch.
Yeah, feels good to have intros, doesn't it? Okay, mm-hmm. So starting, I guess we should start with, so Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
If you liked the movie Moulin Rouge, you'll probably like Across the Universe, which, yeah, I think we mentioned. Really good movie, especially if you like the Beatles also, set in the 60s. Romeo plus Juliet, which is also directed by Baz Luhrmann, the director of this one, Moulin Rouge. And then The Phantom of the Opera, the 2004 yeah, one that's based off of the stage musical by Andrew Lloyd Webber.
I feel like super agree with that, yeah, because there's a lot of the same themes.
Yeah, exactly.
In the two.
And it's got that theatrical tone and style. Like, yeah.
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 Awesome. I love it. And if you liked Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, you might like Scary Movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spaceballs.
Yeah.
Because the ridiculousness is right at the same level.
And I forgot that we do have space sequences in that, too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And then 21 Jump Street.
Ah, interesting with that one. Explain that one a little bit. 21 Jump Street.
It's just the ridiculousness level, I think. But yeah, when I was watching it, it made me think of, for some reason, I was like, yeah, I feel like this is like along the same.
A little bit referential. Like, yeah, interesting. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
Good.
There's some movie matches for you. Awesome. So now it's time to move on to recommendations. So, I'm gonna recommend a podcast as usual, and it's called No More Late Fees.
Ooh, about library books?
which is a 90s and 2000s movie podcast, which nice. I think the hosts all used to work for Blockbuster or Hollywood Video.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
And so now they're coming together to talk about that as well as talk about movies and stuff. So, No More Late Fees, a podcast.
Love it.
Check it out.
I'm going to recommend the Netflix TV show Heartstopper, which is about a private school for boys, and it deals with, like, a boy coming out and one openly gay boy at the school and a trans kid. And I just think that, like, the whole thing is so important, and the storytelling is really beautiful, and it's 8 episodes. They just signed on for 2 more seasons, which is awesome.
Heck yeah.
And I think that the exposure is really great, and it's British too, so I just, you know, I love it.
Brits.
It's great.
Yeah. Awesome. What's it called again?
Heartstopper.
You're a heartstopper. Pill popper. No.
No, no. None of these kids pop pills.
Oh.
Not yet, at least.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Pod popper. Tide pods. Don't do that.
Don't do
fucking
that.
Jesus.
Fuck, man. Kids.
Yeah. Save them. Please, God, save them all. Okay. Moving on. So now that we've done the recommendations, now the moment has come to talk about the movies that we're going to watch for next week, right?
Hell yeah.
Well, I think what I'm going to have you watch, Gazy, is a little movie starring one of your favorite actors, if not your favorite actor, good old Nick Cage. We got to get our Nick Cage movie in.
Yeah.
We get one every season, at least one.
At least. I think I have one I might assign you later.
Awesome. So Con Air.
Con Air.
Con Air for you and for me.
Jungle Cruise.
Ah, The Jungle Cruise, new movie.
New movie.
From Disney.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I mean, and we did a whole slew of the movies based off of that other ride that Disneyland's famous for.
Yes, that's true.
So, gotta talk about The Jungle Cruise.
Gotta talk about it, along with our associated Jungle Cruise memories from Disneyland.
Yeah. You know, the backside of water. Never forget.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about it, though.
Heck yeah. So tune in next week where we will be talking about Jungle Cruise and
Con Air.
Dang. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay safe, everybody. Oh, yeah. And gun control now.
Yeah. Protect the kids. Bye.
All physical objects man-made. In size, light.
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware
of what?
Our connection.
So, we are all connected in the great circle of life.